That's great.
And you know what you want to talk about?
Do I?
Do you?
I guess I do. Fight for the World Cup. Go and compete. Hello, and welcome to the 21st edition of the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. My name is Kieran, and I'm joined once again by Adrian and Connor. Now, first things first, we have to go for some breaking news. I'm going to pass you over to Adrian, who's going to give us an update on his fish.
My fish is still alive.
Oh,
both of them. And actually, I do have a bit of news about the fish because
Brilliant.
I found out you're meant to feed them fruit and veg and stuff.
What?
You've just been giving them like fish food. Yeah, I know. So
who told you that? The fella at the fruit and veg stall.
No, the internet. And apparently you're like the best thing to give them is like de-shelled peas. But obviously I'm not a fucking loser. I'm not gonna spend hours skinning peas like some maniac.
Sure, Jesus, so, how much do they even need? You'd only need one shell.
Yeah, I have no idea. So I just I was making dinner today. And I boiled some broccoli, so I just fucked in a little bit of broccoli, and it's in there.
Hang
so
on.
They're just picking away. What?
Hang on a fucking second. I'm sorry, no. What natural habitat do fish eat? Broccoli?
No, but they eat plants and stuff in the sea, don't they?
Do they?
And they don't have any. Well, I guess. I mean, probably.
These fish are upside something. Down.
Like the fish food is made of like fish bits, basically, isn't it? The flakes. They're just
is it?
Like
they eat themselves.
Yeah, I've got. Yeah, like fish eat other fish.
Jesus.
And then the fish that can't eat other fish just eat like plankton and whatever's on the bottom of the sea. So anyway, I threw in a bit of broccoli and they're delighted with it.
Are they floating at the top of the bowl?
No, they're happy. They're
so happy. They're sunbathing.
They're a lot of responsibility. I don't know if you guys would know anything about that, but they take a lot.
Well, Kieran does have a children.
Sure, he looks after himself half the time.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. They're old enough now to be self-sustainable. And
yeah,
I didn't know I had to feed kids broccoli, though. I mean, that's a new one. I know now that I need
I always...
to fish them, but kids, I didn't know.
You know, in terms of veg, I was actually saying broccoli was the one veg as a kid that I never minded eating. I don't know why people hate it. I think it's delicious.
I like it. Yeah, it's very soft. You know?
Yeah, but I just think raw carrots are like totally overrated. Raw carrots and hummus is not a nice snack. Just give me that.
Oh, I had that today.
Oh,
we'll disagree there.
Just get a spoon with the hummus and just go to town. Don't bother with the carrots.
Just eat the paste. I bet you eat spoons of mayonnaise as well, don't you? Forget the sandwich.
I am someone, I would be partial to a dollop of mayonnaise on the side with like a toasted sandwich and dip the toasty in the mayo.
Okay.
That's oh, God.
If Dave is listening, he's getting sick right now. Did we
oh,
ever tell you that about Dave hating mayonnaise?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Like, we were talking to him for ages about how much he hated mayonnaise, and eventually we were asking, would you prefer mayonnaise or like insects or mayonnaise or rotten, like whatever the fuck. And then we asked him, would you prefer to eat a jar of mayonnaise or a jar of someone's cum? And he said, a jar of someone's cum.
Oh. Like, we gave him such a bashing last time, and that was telling
yeah.
the world this, like, this is outrageous.
Just,
well,
yeah, okay.
Like, just for the record, like, there is nothing on my notes for the podcast that has anything to do with Dave. This has all been organic, just like the jar of cum that he'd like to eat.
I mean, if you say that, you're in trouble.
Did you ever see that episode of Fear Factor, that one that got it cancelled, where they made contestants, they had to drink either, like, a full pitcher full of donkey semen or donkey urine.
Yeah, it was just really pushing the boundaries a bit too far, that wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for the update on the fish. I'm glad to see they're doing well and getting, you know, one of their five a day. It's good for them. They might grow into like mega fish now, so here's for a long life.
There'd be a fucking shark in the kitchen.
Before we move on to more pressing topics, just a plug on the previous podcast, number 20, Who is Karl Marx? Where you guys can get up to date with Karl Marx, the former Stockport County goalkeeper and famous poet. So make sure you check that out. It's on YouTube and soon to be on Spotify. Now, another 2 weeks has just flown by us, lads, and another 2 weeks full of controversy. Plenty of controversy on the pitch, a bit off the pitch now as well. Ryan Giggs confirming he's still a scumbag.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I forgot about that entirely.
Yeah, pretty bad.
So Ryan Giggs beat the shit out of his girlfriend?
And someone else, apparently.
Mm. Was there?
Apparently,
yeah, so. There was two people, I think.
You were saying, Flynn, that it would be hilarious if it was Rodri. That he was cheating on him with the girlfriend.
Yeah, it's like the start of old school, man. You guys ever see old school?
Yeah.
Years ago.
Like, yeah, a long time ago.
He shows up at the door. He's like, I'm here for the gangbang. No.
Well, it's Ryan Giggs is probably not going to be on the honours list this year.
Sure, he's always been a bit of a scumbag. I mean, even before the Rodri stuff came out, wasn't there stories about him punching like people in nightclubs and stuff as well in the 90s? You never heard that?
Yeah, no, it's he's known for being not very nice.
I know nothing gnarly about Ryan Giggs other than he rode his brother's rode his brother's wife, and now he's after beating up his girlfriend. That's about all I know of him. And I don't really care to know anymore. He seems like a boring fuck.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit, you know, it's big now. There's a string of United players all around that same generation that are stains on society. And we have another one confirmed here now.
Who would have thought that David Beckham would be the most respectable one of them?
Well, interesting you could say that, right? Because my next point was going to be, and when I mentioned the, you know, he's not going to make the honours list. It was only recently that I remembered back that, you know, David Beckham got, what was it, an MBE? And there was all the talk of like a knighthood, so like Sir David Beckham. Apparently he just like begged for it and kind of paid people off to get onto the MBE list, which I find quite funny.
That's all they are anyway.
what was the name of that one he supposedly rode again?
Rebecca Luce.
Rebecca Luce, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
She's Luce, all right.
Yeah, and I mean, she was, you know, she was no great shakes, really, was she? I mean, if you're gonna do it and you're David Beckham, you may as well go for, like, you know, an A plus, a 10 out of 10, and he went to just...
That's, took, like, the same thing people... Bin, like. Same thing people said about Bill Clinton.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they do it. You know, if... God, I'm saying, like, if you're going to do it right.
God!
like if you're David Beckham, you know... Yeah. But, like, if you're David Beckham, you feel like you can probably get anyone, like.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess he's...
I was going to say go for, like, Margot Robbie or something, but sure, she was probably about 6 at the time.
Leave that for Ollie. Not
famous at all. And it would just have been a random child.
David Beckham, they're all diddlers, aren't they?
Well, I mean, sure, fucking Jimmy Savile had a lot of MBEs and stuff as well.
Yeah, sure. This is it. Yeah. It's tainted, I guess.
And yeah. Prince Andrew is the one handing him out. Sure.
Why it always comes this? Around to diddlers.
if it's not Dave, it's diddlers. Maybe that's the connection.
Wasn't there a lot about, like, Ferguson used to control their, like, personal lives, like, no, not that he used to diddle, but that, like, that era, that generation of players, that he'd, like, tell them where to live and introduce them to their wives and fucking, like, just control their lives. So
I never heard that.
No, I think there's a lot about, like, their wives are a lot of people who he would have introduced them to, and that he kind of just controlled, was very controlling, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of like...
So that they only focused on football.
Yeah, it was like a father figure, wasn't it? Where it was like, you know, that there's the good crowd and there's the bad crowd, and he wouldn't let him get with the bad crowd, even though they all turned out to be the bad crowd, so...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they probably never rebelled because they were playing football for 20 years. So I guess now they're rebelling as like 40 odd year old.
Good for them. Keeping it consistent.
Beating women.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. What did they have to rebel against anyway? Everything was handed to them in life and things were perfect for them the way they were. They had none to rebel against.
But that's it. But that's not good for people either, is it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature to rebel when you're like, I don't know, 16 or something.
Slow down, Marx.
Very poetic of you.
A lot of psychology and philosophy. Yeah. And
you're prepared this time.
Yeah, you won't catch me out today, boys.
He's read all philosophy for the past 200 years.
Yeah, I don't know if I can name one. Socrates, was he a philosopher?
He was, yeah, fair play. Yeah. He was also a footballer, though, so...
Oh, probably, yeah.
That was a good one to mention, Handy, fair play.
Plato was another.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Which, yeah, we get the word platonic relationship.
Oh, no. Welcome to the philoscast.
Yeah.
Or we the psychcast, I don't know.
Anyone else?
Yeah, the football is getting shit. Let's just branch into anything else.
It's just ditch years of work to read up about poetry.
Probably get a bigger audience.
Definitely, yeah. We do anything else and people would actually listen.
Diddlers and philosophers.
Jesus.
How far in are we? We literally haven't spoken about one bit of football. We've talked about Dave, fish, diddlers, philosophers.
That's what they listen for, isn't it? That's what the people listen. That's what they want.
Yeah, true.
I think. I guess going to the on-the-pitch controversy, we've spoken about it 1,000,001 times, but it happened again, and I think there's two big talking points this weekend of where VAR has been a bit questionable. We'll go to the biggest game of the weekend, I guess. Palace versus Leeds. No, I'm kidding. We'll start with Liverpool City and the Gomez handball. So where do we sit on the that decision? What's your thoughts?
I think it was the right decision.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I thought it was a pretty clear-cut penalty.
Yeah, I think the distance was the big thing, right? He was far away from the ball that was being kicked, right? It was reaction time. Yeah.
And I wouldn't call his hand in a natural position either.
Okay. Hanley?
I mean, maybe I'm biased. I am biased. I know I'm biased. But, I mean, I disagree. I think it was a pretty natural position. He makes the point that you don't understand how fast that ball is going. I think it's a bit of a lame argument, but maybe it's a fair argument that he's like, De Bruyne like lashes the ball at you and he's like, you don't have time. And if you do look back at it in slow motion, I think once he realizes where the ball is going, he does pull his hand away. I know it blocks the cross, but it's, you know, it wasn't like heading into the top corner necessarily. So I think it's an accidental handball. I don't know, do they exist anymore? But I think the referees have to use their discretion and see, you know, how much it affects the play, I suppose. That's my argument. I think it's a natural position. I don't think he meant it.
So, like, just to summarize what you're saying is that basically it should be one rule for Liverpool and another rule for the rest of the league.
No, because I think I don't want to move on too quick, but the Wolves one was similar. I know he was closer, but... Like, you know, are you going to set a distance of 10 yards? Or, you know, the distance to me is not really a fair argument. You know, it's either intentional and affects the play hugely or it's not, you know. And if his arm is in a natural position, I don't really know how you say it's not in a natural position. It's not over his head or something. He's sprinting back. His arm is out.
He's blocking the ball, and his hand was out from his body. He looked like he was firing a revolver in like a Western showdown. His hand is out, like horizontal.
When the ball hits him, his elbow is tucked into his body.
That's not his hand, though, is it?
But he has to have a hand somewhere. You know?
He does.
It's connected
yeah.
to his elbow.
What's stopping him putting it? What's stopping him putting it anywhere else?
Because it happens in literally like 0.3 of a second after your man kicks the ball.
Well, why was his hand up that high anyway?
Because he's running. Ah, you're winding me up. You're having me on.
No,
not really.
I think Gomez actually did very well. He said there has to be common sense. There's no fucking common sense with the handball thing anymore. That's the problem. And they keep changing it, and it's not helping anything.
There's like,
they need to give referees discretion.
But there's like United and Liverpool common sense, and then there's like the rest of the world common sense.
No, there's not. Liverpool have had everything go against them this season. So
here we are.
all right, let's fucking have it. The Everton game, there was about three decisions there. There was definitely two: the Pickford sending off that should happen, and the Mane offside.
Yep.
The handball against Gomez. Name another Liverpool game that happened for me.
Do you remember Mane elbowing Tierney in the head?
Nah.
Yeah.
There's been a few soft penalties for Liverpool as well.
I mean, I think. Are you on about the Salah one?
Basically, anytime Salah's in the box, he's going down, yeah, I guess.
But look, if there's contact, I think the foul is more straightforward than the handball thing, because they've changed the handball rule so much, I don't think refs really know what's going on. And it's whereas the foul, like, if there's contact, it's a foul. Whether he makes the most of it or not, that's fine. But sure, he's always getting kicked and keeps going. If I was him in the box and I got a kick on the back of my leg, I'd go down as well. It looks bad, but he's kicked. It's a foul.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, no argument, boys. Put it to bed.
Well, hold that ball.
Put it in an envelope, slap it on the bottom, send it off.
The other one, which I think is more controversial, not as cut and dry as the Gomez one, is the Patrick Bamford offside disallowed goal for Leeds against Palace. He was pointing towards where he wanted the ball in an area, like with a part of his body that he's unable to score with, and it was given offside.
I think this one is way worse than the Gomez.
Well, yeah.
I at least understand the argument in the Gomez one. This is crazy. He wasn't offside, so I don't know how they make it offside.
Yeah.
It's fucking like his wrist is offside or something.
No, I think they were saying like the t-shirt part of his arm, like just below the shoulder, they say that was offside.
But that's the madness of it, isn't it? I think that's probably backing Gomez's comments of the common sense. Does it need to be that precise?
No, because like we were saying before, there's such a thing as being level as well, or there should be. It shouldn't be millimeters or what part of his shoulder. Is it the underarm or the outside of his shoulder? That's ridiculous. Like, you know, it should just be where his goal-scoring part of his body is, or where his knee is or something. Not his fucking arm, which he can't use.
Yeah.
I think they feel like since they brought the technology in, if they don't use it for really exact measurements, they probably think, well, what's the point in having it at all, other than for really, really blatant things, which happen, what, like once a season, there'd be something really outrageous happened. So now they feel like, well, the only reason this stuff exists is for pinpoint accuracy, and it's driving people crazy. Like they can't show it's off by a millimeter and then say, we'll allow it anyway. Ah, sure. grand. That's not how it functions.
I think they need to, I don't know what you think about this, but having a VAR, like an actual ref in a room somewhere is, I think it's stupid that they should just have the ref given a monitor if he wants. Now, I know the problem with that is it takes up time and play and stuff. But sure, the VAR, when it's doing those measurements and stuff, takes up time anyway. I think just have the monitor there for the ref. If he thinks it might be offside, he runs over and he can view it himself. Not with the fucking measurements and stuff. He can view it himself and say, yeah, okay, that does look offside to me. That's what he's trained for. Like, he's being paid to do this.
Well, they also have it for, like, off-the-ball incidents and stuff. Like, if there's a foul in the box and play goes on and the ball goes up the other end of the field, and then sometimes the ref can't say, okay, I'm going to stop play and look to see maybe this was a foul, even though I let play continue or the ball's gone back. The VAR team is checking stuff that the ref can't pause the game and every time go look at the monitor.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I suppose I think VAR just has too much power, basically. Like the video ref has all the power. He is the main ref now at this stage. The guy on the field is just kind of blowing the whistle for a throw-in.
And that's sort of the way that it works in other sports that have the video assistants as referees, is that the umpires on the pitch are the ones that make the kind of the bread and butter calls, like you said, like signaling what way the throwing is. And if any like tough decisions or decisions that might change the course of the game, it goes upstairs. And I just don't see how, like, the argument of, like, time is a problem. Surely, if we're going to invest this much money and effort and everyone is collectively in favor of VAR, do we really matter if it takes an extra 5 minutes per game to get a decision right? If it's something like the Patrick Bamford one, for example, does it really matter?
I think if they were getting the decisions right, I wouldn't mind the extra 5 minutes. That's the thing. But they're not even, I would say, it feels like they're getting a majority of them wrong at this stage. So,
yeah. when it feels like they're, like, pausing the game and spending, like, 10 minutes doing forensic analysis or something that the whole world can see and we see it's wrong and they come back and say it's right or whatever, it just turns into a farce.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing the Barkley one is what we're going to talk about next. The first goal against that was disallowed against Arsenal. And maybe Flynn will have a different opinion, but I wasn't watching the game at that point and I was getting updates. So I saw there was a goal and then it was like the app froze that I couldn't see who scored it. I couldn't see what was going on. And then ages later, it said, well, the goal's been disallowed. It took 3 or 4 minutes. When I looked straight away at the screenshot, I could see he was probably in the goalkeeper's way and it was enough to disallow the goal, in my opinion. That was just from me looking at a still of what happened. Not even seeing the video. So why did it take them nearly 4 minutes to make that decision? I think is the problem.
Yeah, I actually think it was a bit harsh, even as an Arsenal fan. Even though I know I've seen the still images and I'm like, yeah, he was in his side, kind of. But there was no universe Leno was going to save that, even if he saw it, but...
That's it. But then the ref, surely on the pitch, is capable of deciding that. Like, he was there. He saw it in real time. He can go have a look and then say, do you know what? He wasn't his way, but sure, he was never going to get it anyway. Or decide, well, he was in the way and that's the rule, so disallow it.
Yeah, because they can't... They have the rule is, like, if he's obstructing vision of the ref, of the goalkeeper, it's offside. Then it counts as being involved in the play. And I guess he was, according to that, he was obstructing his vision. It's not like the rule isn't... it's offside and he's obstructing play unless the shot was so incredible there was no chance he could save it in a million years.
That's the thing, like, the referees, it feels like they have no discretion anymore and it's all in the hands of VAR, and then they just do whatever they feel like.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. Interestingly, I guess we can take a look at who's benefited the most and who's benefited the least from VAR. Oh, interestingly, Everton and Sheffield United have have had the most decisions in their favor with three more than have gone against them, which kind of highlights for me just how bad Sheffield United's season is.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they're falling bad. Apart.
Yeah, and always the victims. Liverpool have benefited the fewest.
Oh. Oh, yeah, exactly. One rule for Liverpool, is it? Yeah, fuck off. Do you know what the story with Lundstrom is at Sheffield United? Because obviously he was class last year, and then they brought in someone else, and they didn't play him. And now he's not re-signing. Why don't they just play him? They've been losing ever since.
Because he's basically committed to leave, right? He doesn't want to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also not really even that good.
He's better than what they have.
He's just a bit of like a workhorse that just run around a lot. Like, a lot.
Yeah, like, he's a championship player. The fella they signed to replace him, not replace him, but who kind of took a spot, I think, was Sander Berg, who is probably their only half-decent player. And they spent a lot of money on him, and they hope to get money for him. So they're not going to drop him for John Lundstrom, who's leaving on a free transfer in a few months.
Yeah.
No, he had a pretty good start to the season last season.
Yeah, I think we look at him with fantasy-tinted glasses on too, though.
No, I know. Yeah, I do understand that. But, I mean, I can understand why he'd be fucked off, you know, chipping in goals and assists, and then some burger man comes in and takes his place. I'd fucking leave as well.
Yeah.
Good luck, yeah. Wilder.
I suppose a club like Burton will come snap him up there in the summer, so it's okay.
Living the dream. Yeah. They should make the next Goal movie about John Lundstrom.
Well, I said they'd be relegated, and I'm sticking by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look shocking, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the kind of the quick flurries of hope. Like, they've taken the lead against Liverpool, Chelsea, and then it's just like, nah, back in your box. Unlucky.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're crap. Like, squad is wank. I mean, even Rian Brewster was never good. He has potential to be good, but he shouldn't be starting Premier League games. No way.
It's actually quite a good bit of business in hindsight. Klopp again, tactical genius.
Oh, it's your man Edwards at Liverpool. He's the guy who does all the deals, and he's been unbelievable for about 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years, I'd say.
Sure, people. We'll cotton on now, surely, at this point. Yet another massive big money flop from the Liverpool Academy.
Mm. Yeah. But like, but you see, the media builds them up, these young players. It's like, he was being compared to Fowler, that he was going to be the next Fowler. So, of course, then his price goes up, and it's the fucking Daily Mirror doing it for you.
Curtis Jones, the next one.
Well.
Oh, Trent Alexander-Arnold, next one.
Good one.
Well, come on. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold is a winner.
You might get a profit off him next season.
You might. I wouldn't sell him for a billion.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, you would. You could put John Lundstrom for free.
I don't know. He's probably one of the most valuable players in the world, I'd say, is he?
Ah, oh, come on. Not this season.
I'm talking about the last week or two. I mean, like, this year.
Okay, maybe. But
I think he's only about 22, 23.
He's younger than that, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. 21, 22, maybe. Yeah. Premier League winner, Champions League winner, free kick specialist. Marauding right back. Didn't Caff say incredible things about him.
He also sent he also was sexually harassing a pregnant woman on Snapchat. That's one of his honourable honours.
Yeah. All these young English players.
They just have to rebel, you know?
Against
the system. The system that makes them multi-millionaires.
No. Saka is pure.
Saka is pure.
Yeah. You know he
goes shite
every Sunday. Speaking of Saka, Southampton have started the season well, wouldn't you agree?
They've recovered well. They didn't start well.
No.
Yeah, sure. They got battered by Spurs.
And by Palace.
Who else did they lose to? Yeah.
Wait. Palace, yeah. They got battered by Spurs. It was 1-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, they lost to Spurs 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who am I thinking of? Who did Spurs just beat? Oh, that was West Brom. Piss.
Close.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's they got battered by Spurs and they lost to Palace first two games.
Bounce back ability.
I think they'll be in trouble with Ings out. Ings has scored like over half their goals. I think like even like 60 or 70% of their goals. So,
and they also looked really bad in those first few games. Even though I know they turned it around now. But at the start, it was like they're in trouble. They looked like they looked last season when they lost 9-0. Was it 9-0? 9-0 to Leicester.
Yeah. I mean, they're fourth at the minute, which is pretty good. But there's like, it's funny, at this stage, I really thought the likes of Everton, Villa, Southampton, Leicester would all kind of just have fallen away a little bit, but they're still there. I mean, Villa are sixth, but they still have a game in hand, which would bring them up to, like, top. Which is bonkers. Yeah.
I know.
Villa are not that good.
Well, fuck Villa, right? It's flash in the pan. It completely is a flash in the pan.
Yeah, multiple flashes in the pan.
But I think they're all flashes in the pan, but... You know, they haven't fallen away yet. Why not, is my question.
Because the season's bonkers. That's why, you know.
It's still early days.
It is still early days, but you'd want to wait till... By the end of the second quarter, they'd want to be back down to 11th, 12th for me to be happy. If they're still up there by the start of the third quarter, I'll be worried that they'll get a Champions League place. And no matter what, no one wants to see Southampton playing the Champions League.
Southampton fans.
Well, when they got to Europe a few years back, it was like Van Dijk leading the line, and they beat Inter Milan. Like, so give them a bit of credit.
Well, Vestergaard is not Van Dijk. I know that much.
But you'll probably still end up buying him. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, they're a selling club. Let's just be blunt about that. They're absolutely a selling club.
Yeah. So I don't think they hide that, though. That's their model, right?
Yeah. Keep them where they belong, then.
The shop window.
Being such a fucker, like.
But Villa, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Villa there, like beating Arsenal 3-0 the weekend just reminds me of, like, Norwich beating City last year. It's just like, fuck off. Like, this isn't real. This is just a mistake. This is just for viewers.
Yeah.
Like, this is just to get people subscribing to Sky Sports, right?
I mean, they totally outclassed Arsenal and Liverpool. Like, much more than Norwich. Much better than Norwich ever looked. Beating Sheffield, beating Fulham. I know, that's not that impressive. Leicester, they beat Leicester away.
Multiple.
Then they lost to Leeds 3-0.
But that's it. Like, Ollie Watkins, I know people were making a big deal when he signed, but, like, he's not that fucking good, is he? He got a hat-trick against Liverpool and two against Arsenal, which are freak instances, in my opinion. So, I don't think he's going to get, you know, 20 goals every season. Barkley is playing pretty well. Grealish is playing well. So they have players playing well, but they're not going to do it for a whole season. Am I mental to think that?
No.
Well, Grealish could play well for the season. Barkley could play well for the season. You know, I don't think it's out of the realm's possibility. I think they look the best out of, like, Southampton and even Leicester. I think they look better than Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester are a bit skewed, aren't they? Because it's been like 8 penalties this season that they've got.
Yeah, and they don't play great football either.
No,
They've had a few injuries as well, though. When you think about it, wasn't?
Yeah,
did Vardy miss any? I think he missed. Did he miss a game or two? Madison has been in and out. Your man Soyuncu is out. I think they indeed, like a lot of big players. Like, so considering they're top of the table with all that, you know, bit of Brendan magic. Fair play.
Brendan. The guy's a chancer.
You'd have him at Arsenal in a heartbeat. Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, as I've said, I'm not convinced by Arteta.
Well,
these recent performances have done nothing to convince me.
No, it's been very poor. I mean, a great win at Old Trafford. Not in good fashion, but a win's a win. But losing the way you did to Leicester and losing the way you've done to Villa now, and I know you're a fan of it, like Aubameyang's XG is like 0.06 or something. Like, the lad, what's going on?
Yeah, people are going crazy that he's still being played really wide on the wing and that Lacazette and Willian are starting every game. And the only time we look anyway decent is when Joe Willock is in the team, of all people.
Yeah.
He plays in the Europa League and looks like Zidane every week on Thursday nights. And then he's not even in the squad in the Premier League.
Crazy.
We got Pepe, who costs like 70 million, king of the Europa League, and not much else. Like, Saliba doesn't even make the squad. I don't know what story there is. Arteta makes some very questionable decisions. And it's fine when you're winning the FA Cup. We will let you off. But like, now the chickens are coming home to roost, and like, he doesn't have much of an answer at the moment. I know he's still ridiculously inexperienced and young. So like, this is the first time he's been in any kind of bad patch. We just beat United last week at Old Trafford. Still though, performances are not very good. And they're just so slow. It's unbelievable how slow the play is. I can't believe watching these players like Aubameyang, Ceballos, Willian, Lacazette passing like octogenarians. They look like that Father Ted football team, the over 75s. Just pass so slow everywhere. And sure, it's driving me crazy watching teams like Tottenham and Villa, where it's like, pass it. Just pass it really quick through the lines and take a shot. But and it's not like Arsenal are dominating possession in these games. It's not like they're playing like Barcelona, holding the ball, patiently building up. Like, they're playing a lot of long balls, like David Luiz lumping it up forward, relying on Kieran Tierney every game, crossing it in. I really don't know. I don't have a lot of positives to say about Arsenal's style of play at all. I've said this for a while, but the results were fine. That's why I was like, we'll see, maybe things will improve, but they haven't. Sorry to just steal the conversation away there.
No.
Talk about Arsenal for 10 minutes.
It's definitely a feature. I actually like unlocking your Arsenal passion. But yeah, I'd have to kind of agree. It does feel like, and I saw the same thing too, a lot of fans calling out for Willock for a bit of creativity. And it's not as if Arsenal are incapable of fast play too. There's a lot of pacey players and a lot of like technically gifted players. I don't know why you said, I don't know why it takes so long or why you don't really have it in the box very often.
I think I was saying before that Arteta's team scores a lot of goals that look very similar a lot. So it looks like they're drilled into certain patterns of play that he thinks this is the most effective way to do things. And to be fair, I mean, so far up to this point, he had been getting the job done to an extent. And I think because they're just drilled to play in certain patterns that like there's no creativity or, you know, flair or guile in the team at all. Like if they get it into a position, all they're thinking is, okay, now let's do what we did on the training ground. What do we do on the training ground? Oh yeah, I passed it out this way. Oh yeah, okay. And then he crosses it in there. Oh no, that didn't happen. What do we do now? Back to square one.
Yeah, sad times. But look, you'll probably win the next game. You'll probably get to the Europa League final.
I know.
And you'll finish eighth. So, you know, good times ahead.
Yeah, I think Arteta, no matter what, unless things go absolutely abysmal, like in relegation form, he should stay on this season, because I would judge him after this season, at the end of the season, unless things go abysmally. We'll see where we are at the end of the season. But the jury is still out. Every week, I'm gonna be saying this every week for like a year.
Yeah, this is just Emery part two. But
yeah, kind of. It, right now, we look a lot like we did under Emery.
Yeah,
hasn't been a huge change.
Kind of shows what a good job Wenger was doing, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see him have a little dig at Arsenal? Not at Arsenal, but he said something about, you know, all funds have become available, which I was quite surprised about.
No.
To be fair, I mean, yeah, you would be pissed off that.
Yeah.
Wenger had some money at the end. Ozil and Sanchez, they were both like 30, 40 million. But the word was always, we have to be self-sustaining or whatever. And where did the money for Partey come from? Because we've been making no money. We haven't been in the Champions League. Wasn't in the Champions League for a couple of years. I've been doing shocking in the league. Losing players all the time. Dropping slowly down in the rankings. And like, where did this money for Partey suddenly come from that Wenger could never get?
Yeah.
Well, it's just, Yeah, it's the same for Pepe, though, last year. You know, that was just like how these deals are being constructed is the worry. Are they just huge loans that you're hoping to resell and pay off? Because that's not really going to work with Pepe now, is it?
I haven't a clue. Like, I gave up on defending Pepe quite early, so like I don't even mind when people are like, he's shite, because kind of is. But maybe you could sell him to someone. I wouldn't mind if he was sold. I just don't think he's going to come good.
Speaking of not coming good, it's a funny sentence to say. But did we see the Lookman penalty in the 97th minute? Horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to feel a bit bad for him, but also, what a fucking Egypt. Like,
no.
I mean, these Panenka penalties give me the willies, no matter what the situation is, because it's like they should be taken when it's the least expected time, like the 98th minute, you'd say he's going to lash it into the top corner. But maybe that those unexpected times are now becoming expected. Like, I don't know, did Fabianski expect him to do that, or did he just say, look, I'm just going to stay here, and if he puts the top corner, fair enough. But it was just, like, did he scuff it? Was it just, it looked like he kind of scuffed it all together.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with someone doing a Panenka at that moment. Like, I saw someone say in a comment, you should never do a Panenka like this at that moment. You should do it when you're, like, 2-0 up and there's no danger. And I'm like, no. There's no point in doing a Panenka if you're safe already. Like, the whole point of doing a Panenka is it's so ballsy that they would never expect you to do it at a crucial moment because of the high risk. So, like, that's where it originated, the Panenka penalty to win the Euros for the Czech Republic, wasn't it? Or Czechoslovakia. Mm. Panenka scored it. And so I don't have a problem with Lookman attempting a Panenka. I have a problem with how shit his Panenka was.
I've only seen really good players pull off Panenkas, like Pirlo and Ramos and stuff. Not fucking Lookman.
Yeah. Like, what was the worst was that Fabianski did dive and he got back up and he picked the ball off the ground. It was that bad.
Yeah, that was the problem, because he kind of put it to the side.
Yeah.
So, like, if you do a Panenka to either way, it's 50-50. You know, you don't... If they guess the right way, they're saving it.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Jamie Vardy, I know it's a bit funny to bring this up considering Jamie Vardy missed the penalty this weekend, but Jamie Vardy's penalty is basically pick a side and wallop it because even if they guess the right way, they still probably can't save it if you hit it hard enough. Harry Kane's kind of the same.
Yeah. I agree.
Just fucking practice hitting the ball as hard as you can in a specific area. And you have a good chance.
Like, just aim for some cunt directly behind the goal.
Yeah.
Lash him in the face with it. That's how you take a penalty.
Yep.
Just find a kid in the crowd.
Yeah, too early.
Coming for you.
Remember when Rio Ferdinand did that? He got pissed off because there was no advantage play and he hoofed the ball into some woman in the crowd and bought her a car or something.
Yeah, like bust her nose open as well.
I didn't make that up, did I? Yeah.
No, he proper fucked her up, yeah. Another United scumbag.
She got like a Range Rover out of it though, so I'd probably take a ball in the face for a Range Rover. I take a nut to the face.
Eat a jar of mayonnaise.
I probably would take a nut to the face for a Range Rover, in fairness.
Jesus Christ.
Would you not?
I mean, I haven't really given it much thought. I don't want to.
Take a second. Think about it.
Mm. Just close your mouth.
Oh, yeah, you can, yeah. Eyes open.
Or a Range Rover. Is it second hand?
No.
Oh, the load is.
Two-handed.
Yeah. I'd be delighted going down throwing a Range Rover.
Well, like, how much is a Range Rover? Like, 50 grand?
Yeah, I'd say more, probably.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's it. You'd just sell it for an enormous amount of money.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to get your dignity back for 100 grand, would you?
Yeah, but what has my dignity ever done for me?
Like, how much
I'm not using it anyway. Like,
yeah.
Might as well get a Range Rover.
I mean, if someone offered me 5 grand, I'd say no, obviously.
Yeah, you've got limits.
Range Rover, yeah. I'll have to go off and think about how much. What's the minimum?
Yeah, that has to be like a sweet spot. That has to be like a sweet spot between 5K and 100K. Probably 7 grand, isn't it?
No. Well, I don't know.
Sure, there are people who do pornography, get paid to do it for like $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least they probably enjoy some of that.
Mm.
Some of them.
You might find out you like it, Hanley.
Yeah.
You might want to do it again for less or for free.
Or you say you'll give the Range Rover back if they do it again.
Imagine if someone listening to this was like, I will give you a Range Rover if you let me know.
If someone's out there with 80 grand.
Or a Range Rover, a brand new one.
I'd prefer the cash in hand.
I would too, but you know, the deal is a deal, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess leave your value in the comments and we'll come up with a acceptable price to be nutted in the face for a Range Rover, I guess.
God. I always wondered, like, Kieran, you're the host and Flynn is the editor, and I always wondered what my role was. I think we just found it.
Oh, we did.
Take loads in the face.
Like, the bottom bitch.
Cum dumpster. Put that in the credits. On your CV. I have experience with being a cum dumpster for a few years.
Hobbies. Taking nuts to the face for Range Rovers.
Me and two lads, yeah.
Well, I guess going back to the penalty, I was thinking of like what was the worst penalty I've seen, because that's probably up there. But then I remembered Jason Puncheon against Spurs. Do you remember that penalty?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not as bad, though. Yeah. Right?
I think Beckham had a few really bad ones, didn't he?
Yeah.
Zaza. Do you remember Zaza?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Simeone Zaza against, was it Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was against Germany. The run-up.
Yeah.
He was like river dancing.
And it all went wrong.
Look, I don't know. Lookman's is as bad as I've seen. Like, at least because I was going to say like the John Terry one in the Champions League. I mean, he slipped, you know, it's not just a terrible penalty. And I was thinking about, I think Wayne Rooney had a few that he absolutely blazed over.
Yeah.
But at least he went for it, you know? Like, Lookman is just chronic.
But it's like, it's a matter of inches, like, because if that had gone in, he would be like cult hero for Fulham. But now his career's over. So, yeah, unlucky, bud.
Yeah, those are the margins, all right.
Send this to him, yeah.
Yeah, actually, we can, you know, new business deal. Take nuts to the face. There you go, Lookman.
For fuck's sake.
He probably has a Range Rover.
Probably taking nuts to the face, too.
Mm.
We'll never know. We'll never know for sure. The last kind of thing, I'm not sure if there's any other points you wanted to touch on, guys, before we, I guess, bring things to a close. We could look to Witchley's question. Now, if anyone's unfamiliar with Sean Witchley, he's the guy that ran for Pope back in 2009. But his question would have been
ran for Pope.
Witch for Pope.
Sounds like some sort of marathon.
He wants to discuss the United and the endless cycle of false dawns and why the Premier League needs Big Sam. I think two very important points to bring up, especially considering we're like 50 minutes into a podcast and we haven't really bashed United. So have at it.
Well, look, they have false dawns because they have a group of extremely high level footballers who, on average, like if you put them in, it's like monkeys with typewriters. Eventually they're going to write something like Shakespeare, give them enough time. It'll happen. So this is like the bare base level minimum that happens when you have players like Rashford and Martial and Fernandez. Just let them out there and play and eventually they'll get a result. And then everything else is like what happens when you have an imbecile running the ship. Ole doesn't have a clue.
No.
That's that.
Thank you.
Don't think I can expand upon that. Really, I think he's nailed that. Yeah.
I think the only thing I'd add to it is
they would get these results with a fucking German Shepherd as manager.
Yeah, I mean, they won. They beat Everton, didn't they? I mean, they act like that's a big win, but it's not really, isn't it? Everton are always going to start sinking at some time, so.
I mean, if anything, it confirms the points we made in our last podcast, number 20, where we said that, you know, Everton are washed and Calvert-Lewin isn't a good football player. So, you know, well done. Well done, United. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I say taking the piss, but I also do mean that the longer Ollie is there, that the happier I am. Like, if they got in Pochettino or if they got in, is it the Dortmund manager people were on about? I'd be a bit more worried then.
Yeah.
But as long as he's there, they're just going to be,
I know,
less than average.
Yeah. I'm actually glad when United win games these days because it just means Ole is going to hang in there one more day.
Yeah.
It prolongs the enjoyment.
It does.
Yeah. I'm amazed he's still there. It's like, okay, I won't even go on about it.
But
such a doing.
Everyone at this stage knows he's out of his depth. Like, it's not even an argument anymore. But why the board are sticking by him, I have no idea. Money, probably.
Because he's a yes man.
Yeah.
He's not going to come out and, you know, demand certain players off them. He's not going to make, it's me or, you know, either you do this or I'm going to walk away. Like, they have this fella, a captive audience. This guy, he can't do a thing.
Mm.
He's a little guy on a leash, like, he'll do everything they want.
Yeah.
And they think they know how to build the team. They think they know how to build the perfect club. So they're like, this is the manager and all he has to do is follow our structure and things will come good. We'll just buy him these players. He'll make them gel because he has to, because we picked the players and we couldn't have picked bad players. These are their best players. So, They're delighted.
Yeah, and I love how we expect that it's going to be Pochettino or it's going to be the ex-Dortmund manager, right? United have gone chasing Sancho from Dortmund, right? They're now going to go chase this Dortmund manager, right? They're going to end up probably with Dortmund's tea lady because none of them want to go to United.
For Dortmund's manager, is he even that good? Favre? Lucien Favre?
It's just the association, isn't it, with the club.
Should Dortmund fans want him out?
The United way, I guess. Maybe they want Big Sam. To tie up Wichita's point, maybe they should be bringing in a player, manager like Big Sam to be getting the best out of.
They'd be lucky. They'd be lucky to get Big Sam in instead of Solskjaer. Imagine, mm-hmm. Big Sam has never had a team of players of that quality. He could do wonders.
He could. I remember you saying that. Yeah. You're saying that, give me the Inter Milan squad and I'd win the Champions League, he was saying.
I didn't say that, but that's my point. Yeah, pretty much.
No, not you. Big Sam said that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It's a while ago.
Yeah. But... I mean, yeah, like, I think England would be doing pretty well if they still had him.
Probably. Sure, Southgate is another Ole.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a girl as well, to be fair.
Okay, we've got
Jack Grealish can't get in the team. Anyway.
Okay, before we go, if this comes out on Wednesday, November 11th, I thought you'd all like to know that this is, in America, National Sunday Day, which is bizarre, but it's Sunday, like an ice cream Sunday. Huh. So it brings a celebration to ice cream lovers across the country. An ice cream sundae typically consists of one or two scoops of ice cream topped with syrup or sauce. The sundae is often topped with whipped cream, cherry, sprinkles, pineapple, or a variety of other toppings.
What are you on about?
What didn't you understand?
I thought you were going to say like you and Sonia are engaged or something. Or...
No, is this just a little fact for the listeners?
Is this to make up for the fact that we called you an idiot for not knowing who Karl Marx was last podcast?
I just thought it was a nice little fact. I actually looked up the one for today, and today's one was better. But obviously, we're recording on a Monday. It's National Scrapple Day. Anyone know what Scrapple is?
Scrapple.
It's the first pork food invented in America. I'll just read it. For those not familiar with scrapple, it is traditionally a mush of pork scrapes and trimmings combined with cornmeal, wheat, flour, spices. The mush is then formed into a semi-solid loaf, sliced, and pan-fried. So, I just thought it was an interesting fact, so I was going to read it out and then realize the day was wrong. So, I had to come up with another one.
Yeah, but you powered through anyway.
This is going to be everyone's favorite bit, and I know it. So.
We'll get all the pork lovers.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll attract all the pork lovers and
we just lost Sunday our Jewish family. Audience.
Jesus. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. I don't know what made me say that, but anyway.
Well, I think it was an interesting end to a great podcast. So thank you very much, Adrian.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Scrapple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't make it up.
No, maybe it'll find its way to your dinner table in the evening soon.
Crap.
Well, that wraps up the 21st Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. It's been great having you. Great having the chats about football and whatnot again. It's the international break, so we are not going to record until another fortnight, where we'll be back with all the latest Premier League controversy, action, and news, I guess. Yeah, that sounds about right. Thanks very much for listening, though, and take care.
Yeah, have a nice Sunday day.
Eat your scrapple.
Ugh, scrapple Sunday.
Yeah, sounds shit, doesn't it?
A scrapple a day keeps the something away.
You're no Karl Marx, boy.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. To keep up to date with all of our content, give us a follow on Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook. Outro music. Boom.
That was good.
That was good, man.
Yeah.
Good.
You prepare and we go and we do our best. You put them under pressure.